Okay, everybody. Well, welcome to the NASCSW conference call on cognitive behavioral therapy and integrating faith into that practice. I'm real excited to be able to introduce Kathy Spooner, who is in private practice in Arizona. That's right, correct?
Virginia.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong end of the country. Don't ask me why I said that, but anyway. In Virginia. And she has done a previous conference call for us that was very successful and has offered her expertise for this conference call to be able to kind of create some dialogue about integrating cognitive behavioral therapy with a faith perspective. I did a little research prior to the call on this, and it's really an interesting topic. And we are in the process at my agency to trying to integrate some of that. So I was real excited about hearing some more. So without any further discussion from me, Kathy, why don't you just kind of jump in and we'll get started.
Okay. I sent my PowerPoint presentation out ahead of time, so I'm hoping people were able to get that and have that available while I'm going over the presentation, because some of it is visual, but I'll try to make sure I describe it enough for those of you that weren't able to. But anyway,
I'll just jump in for 1 minute to let people know.
Okay.
If anyone wasn't able to pull that down from our website or doesn't have ready access to it, just send me an email right now at Rick, R-I-C-K, at NACSW.org, and I'll send the PowerPoint that you just mentioned as an email attachment, and it will get right to you in the next 30 seconds or so. Sorry to interrupt, Kathy, but just wanted to make that accessible to people.
Great. Okay. This is one of my favorite topics in doing faith-based psychotherapy. I use this a lot and find it very, very effective. The first part I wanted to go over is what is cognitive behavioral therapy, which is not any distinct therapeutic technique. It's different ones like rational emotive behavior therapy, reality therapy, which there's also a newer version, choice therapy, cognitive therapy, and then probably one of the newer ones, which is dialectical behavior therapy. So I've pretty much used a variety of each of these and integrating them together and then adding in some attachment theory to help my clients go to a deeper level. But cognitive behavioral therapies examine the relationships between thoughts, emotions, and behaviors, and they'll identify what the triggers are for the response. It's very directive, it's assertive, it's very structured and focused, and works on trying to understand the point of view of the client so that you can understand where some of the distorted thinking is coming from, what I call them roadblocks. The therapist challenges the client's perception and versus the reality. And what I typically say to my clients is your perception is your reality, so you are going to operate based on your reality. However, if it's a faulty perception or an inaccurate perception, then your reality is based on inaccuracy, and you're going to act as though it is when it isn't. So that's the basis that I kind of look at for using the cognitive therapy approaches, is really to help them figure out where those distortions are and find ways to be able to change those belief systems, which I kind of liken to trying to switch gears on a really, really rusty train track. It's sometimes slow to move. It's also typically a strict cognitive behavioral therapy is brief, it's time limited, there's a lot of homework to be able to help practice the skills outside of the therapy sessions. I don't particularly do the brief part, though. First, I wanted to look at the rational emotive behavior therapy there, and you can see, if you have the PowerPoint, You can see the graphic that explains this theory, which is basically looking at what the activating event is, what actually happened, and the client's interpretation, their perception of that event. And that gets paired with their beliefs, either rational or irrational. This is where the faulty piece can come in. And then what are the resulting behaviors or emotions to that response? It also, you can see from this graphic, it'll look, if it's a negative event, then they'll develop, and if they develop a rational belief, one that's accurate and true reality-based, then the outcome would be a healthy negative emotion, would be more of a healthy response. However, if their belief is more distorted, then that's where the unhealthy consequence comes into play. And that'll get stored in the brain, and that's typically where I find the problem is, because that gets stored in there, and then anything else that comes along that's somewhat like that, that memory will get accessed, and so it just replays itself over and over, which is also where I tend to bring in some of the attachment theory, because if these were events that took place in childhood, these are pretty strongly rooted in there, and the attachment helps to get an understanding of more reality-based or how they ended up developing the relationships that they did based on those faulty beliefs. And this one, next one I wanted to look at is reality therapy or choice theory. This one was developed by William Glasser. I'm just going to go over these really quickly because of time and allowing enough time for question and answers. But these are in a nutshell. The basic components of choice theory are that William Glasser does not believe that mental illness exists. He believes that clients have made poor choices to get their basic needs met. And he sees the basic needs of all human beings, the intrinsic needs are survival, which is safety and security or staying alive, love and belonging, and to me that's some of the attachment piece there, freedom, and a friend of mine would put boundaries in there. She would say freedom and boundaries, and power and fun. And I liked these because they did integrate in some fun, and I don't know that we often acknowledge in our theory that that is an important piece to our life to bring balance. The basic components are that all behavior is made up of four components: acting, thinking, feeling, and physiology. Glasser primarily focuses on the acting and the thinking, taking a look at which need is trying to get met and in ways that we're getting it met in an inappropriate way, which is creating problems for us. And next is looking at attachment theory. And attachment is our emotional connection or bond with another person. And I think one of the things to keep in mind, which is a reason why I think this fits really well with cognitive behavioral therapy, is those attachments and emotional connections are hardwired, so to speak, into our brain on a physiological level, which is a lot of what the research has shown lately. So I think it's an important aspect of trying to get rid of some of those faulty beliefs. John Bowlby is considered the father of attachment theory, and then after him, Mary Ainsworth came in and kind of enhanced some of the theory. But he believed that the quality of the attachment to a child, of the child to a primary caretaker, primarily the mother, had a lasting impact on the child's life. And he believed that the attachment of the child to the mother served to ensure the survival for the child. So if you think back to the choice theory, which is based on emotional needs, you can see a connection there as well, because the child tries to survive and get emotional needs met. If there haven't been strong, healthy connections, they're going to try and get those needs met in an inappropriate way. Mary Ainsworth came up with three main categories for attachment. The first one is the secure attachment. These children feel very secure and are able to depend on their caregivers. They typically have a pretty solid self-esteem, the capacity for strong romantic relationships, and the ability to self-disclose or be vulnerable to others. They're upset when their caregivers leave, and they're happy when they return. So, and when they're frightened, they will seek out comfort from their caregivers.